Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, Andrew picked that song specifically for this series that we're going through in Galatians because we have continued to say that Paul's message to the Galatians is that it is through grace, by faith, in Christ alone. That is the truth of the gospel. So when my girls are out of the house, if the ladies, you know, they take a ladies' day and they go spying or something like that, which doesn't happen often, but if it did, right, then there's one movie that as a guy I turn to. Anybody think they know what it is? Yeah, I figured a lot of people would be like, Lord of the Rings, you quote that one so often. That's not it, actually. That's not it. The truth is, one of my favorite guy movies is Braveheart. And so I put Braveheart on when the ladies are gone. It makes me feel some kind of like a warrior. I just want to paint my face with blue face paint and kind of go out and have a war cry. But there's a particular scene in that movie that always kind of gets me like just fired up, right? And it's not the one you're thinking of. It's actually not the one where they're about to go to battle and they're kind of like taunting the English. It's not that one. There's a scene where William Wallace is in front of the future princess of England, and she's come to deliver the news that Longshanks, the king of England, is wanting to make a truce with him. And so she says, listen, Longshanks has sent me to offer you a truce, and here is what you'll receive. And she then offers these promises of what William Wallace will receive if he decides not to attack the English. And she says, please, please, my lord, take this deal. Take these promises. And William Wallace says, she says, nobles are made in such ways. And he says, slaves are made in such ways. And there's a truth that we're going to see today in Galatians 4 that Paul is trying to communicate to the church in Galatia. He's saying, listen, if you continue to try to go back and be about the law, if you want to earn your salvation by works of the law, then you're a slave again to sin. And so I want to show you that from the scripture today. But first, we're going to go back and read a couple of verses in chapter 3. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start there first. Galatians 3, 23 through 25. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Okay, so again, we looked at this at the end of last week's message, this idea that Paul is presenting about the guardian. Remember, we kind of went into detail about this is an incredible illustration that he's using from Greek culture about a particular slave that was given command over a young child until they were old enough to basically have the morality for themselves. This slave was responsible for making sure that the child acted appropriately and got to the places they were supposed to be. And so Paul is saying this is what the law was. And so we briefly mentioned that. And we talked about this idea where he uses two different terms. He says under the law, and then he also says under grace, right? And we talked about those two different terms. And we saw that the law had a purpose. And the purpose was to lead us to the character of God. It shows and reveals the holiness of God, God's character, okay? But it also shows us our sinfulness, how we don't measure up to the law. We cannot reach that standard of God's holiness. And so through the law, we see what a sinner that we are. And then finally, the law shows us our need for a savior. Because we cannot reach that standard, we needed someone who could, and there was only one person who does, and like we just sang about, it is in Christ alone that we find that savior. All right? But then we talked about under grace, there's also some truths for us. That by faith, we are children of God, and we are united to one another as children. And so Paul, as we go into chapter 4, he's going to play off this idea. But I want you to see this, because we're going to look at two different things again today. All right? We're going to look at what the law does to us by making us slaves. And then we're going to look at what faith does and how we are children of God. Okay? So we're going to compare these two things, and we're going to see what Paul does as he works his way through chapter 4. So the first thing that we need to understand is that slavery, the curse of slavery, that it has controlled us as a master. Sin is our master if we are still trying to follow by the law. If we're still trying to earn our way to God through the law, then we have to understand that we have a master, and that master is sin. In fact, Paul talks about it in Romans. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 7. He says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. So the law was actually a good thing. The law is not evil. God gave the law, so it's not evil. But the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But I know that what I am doing is wrong. This shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. So in other words, we are slaves to sin. And as we if we continue to try to follow and again, save ourselves through the law, then we are going to continue to be in slavery to sin. We're going to, like Paul says, we're going to do what we don't want to do. In fact, you might still feel that even if you have trusted in what Jesus has done, because that nature that's inside you, the sinful nature, is at war. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. But it is at war with the Spirit of God in you. And so you feel that way. You feel like, oh, sometimes I don't do what I want to do, or I do what I don't want to do, because that sin is still trying to be your master. So the first thing we need to understand is that that we are cursed in slavery by sin being our master. Okay? But Paul continues his thought here in Galatians. So chapter 4. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Okay, so he's continuing that illustration that we talked about last week about the guardian. Okay? He's continuing that illustration. And in Greek culture, there was something kind of neat that they would do for a coming of age of a young man. So if you were still a child, considered a child, you wore a certain toga. Toga, toga. You wore a certain toga, okay? And that represented that you were not of maturity yet. You were not of the classification of a young man yet. You were still a boy. And so you wore that toga until your father deemed it correct that you were ready and you were mature enough to be a man. So catch that, because that's the illustration that Paul's trying to use. That we were under the law, but then grace came at the right time. Grace is going to come through Jesus. And so it's time for us to put on our new toga and that we are considered men. Okay, so this is the illustration that he's trying to use. So these are the two different types. You have the child and then you have the man. And so Paul's saying, continuing that illustration from last week, he's trying to say, you were once children. You didn't understand. You weren't ready yet. You weren't mature enough. But now you, by grace, are mature. It's a really neat illustration that he's using. And at that time, when you were a child, even though you really had the inheritance of the father didn't give you the money right then. It wasn't like, okay, you're 5 years old, go spend all your money, right? We know what's going to happen. They're going to spend it on stupid things. They're going to do stupid things with it. But instead, when you were at the proper time, again, given the toga of an adulthood, you received the inheritance. You received what the Father, had appropriated to you, what he was wanting to give to you. So here's what Paul's doing. Paul is comparing the Judaizers to the little children who want the law. He's saying they still want you, as Galatians, to stay underneath that law to be immature. Instead of saying that the Judaizers are mature, which they think they are, he's saying they're immature. Immaturity is wanting to stay under the law. Maturity is wanting to live by faith through grace in Christ. That's what Paul's saying. That's the clarification that he's trying to make here. They want to impose the law on you, but it is through grace that you are saved. Okay, there's another term in chapter, in this verse, next verse that I want us to see. Verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. I'm going to stop right there because that verse is so absolutely crucial and important. Absolutely important for us to see. But when the set time had fully come. So there's going to be a couple of history lessons throughout this message this morning, so just kind of bear with me. I know that most of us, we probably were asleep during history class whenever we were in high school. But these are important history lessons for us to understand. Okay, so if you understand and remember Roman culture, Roman history, there was a couple of incredible things that were going on during the Grecian and Roman empires. Some of those things paved the way for Jesus to come and the message of the gospel to be able to permeate the Roman known world. The first one is there was a common language. Greek was the common language. For anybody who was basically subjugated under the rule of Roman authority, they had to speak Greek in formal processes. So Greek became the language for which the gospel could continue to go forth. Okay? The second thing is that there were roads. They had good established roads from one city to another city. So it was easier for people to be able to travel on. It was safer for people to be able to travel on. So these Roman roads made it easier for the gospel to spread. So Jesus comes at exactly the right time. Now, first of all, when I was back in children's ministry, this is one of those moments where I would do something like this. I would say, here's what I need you to do. I need you to put your hands on your head like this because your brain's about to explode. All right? Catch that. Jesus comes at exactly the right time. The time when the gospel would be able to go forth like God wanted it to. Because see, all the way back in the Genesis, we see that God, through Abraham, said, I'm going to bless the entire world through you. All nations will be blessed through you. His desire was for all nations, not just the Jewish nation, but for all nations. And that's where all of us as Gentiles in here go, praise God. Thank you that you included me into your salvation plan, okay? So again, that's an important verse. That's why I wanted to stop on it real quick. Let's keep on reading. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Okay. So we said we're comparing two different things. We're talking about the slavery, and we're talking about sonship. We just heard in that verse that now, because of what Jesus has done, we are no longer slaves, but we are sons. We are sons and daughters of God. Through faith in Christ, you and I are included into the family of God. This is such an important thing for us to understand. So the first benefit of sonship is this, that the son has God as their good father. God is our good father. If we truly are, have faith in Christ, and now we are sons and daughters of God, and he is our father. And the word that he uses right here when he says, we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba in the Aramaic is such an incredible word because it's this deep emotional connection as dad. It's not stuffy father, right? Even when we pray sometimes, our father, I think we miss what God was doing when he made us sons. He's our Abba. He's daddy. Any fathers in the room, you ever have your child come up and they kind of have two different names for you? Like when they're kind of frustrated with you, your dad or father, right? I get that sometimes. When they're really upset, they're like, father, right? But then there's times when they want something and they come and they say, daddy, right? And they're playing on your heartstrings. It's the same idea, but this is something that we get to claim all the time. We get to claim daddy all the time. That's the relationship. That's the nearness in relationship that we have with God. He is our daddy, right? And don't miss that, what Paul's saying. That's the first benefit of sonship. All right, let's keep on reading. No, excuse me, right here, verse 6. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So the second benefit is this, that as a son or a daughter of God, that we share in God's nature through the power of his Spirit. Remember, we talked about just a minute ago that there's this idea of the sin nature that's still tugging on your heart, but then the Spirit of God is inside of you. So you have been given, as a son or a daughter, you have been given the Spirit of God through faith, and so now you have his nature inside of you. The nature that is going to produce, as we'll see next chapter, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That is who God is, and that is what God has put in you through his Spirit. So don't miss that. That's the second benefit of being a son. Okay? So, verse 7. You see, it says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. An heir. Heirs inherit from the Father. They inherit everything that is the Father's. So a third benefit of being a son or daughter of God is that we inherit the riches of God. Now, before you start going, sweet, money's coming in, all right, that's not the riches we're talking about. Paul, actually, in other places, he will talk about the riches that we receive. Riches like this, the riches of his grace. We have been given and received the riches of God's grace, the riches of his glory, the riches of his goodness, and the riches that are only found in Christ. We have been given all of those things. We have been given them because we are heirs if we trust in what Jesus has done for us. We are heirs of God. All right, let's keep on reading. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. So Paul's a little bit remorseful because the Galatians are wanting to go back and try to follow the law. But one of the things that is a curse of slavery is that as slaves, we only have a sinful nature. So whereas those by faith have received the Spirit of God and have God's nature in us, those who are still trying to earn their salvation, trying to do the best that they can, working to earn God's favor, those only have a sinful nature. It's going to be real hard to do the right things when sin keeps on fighting against you because that is who you are. That is your nature. So catch that. Now, I love this quote that I read in this part. Legalism, or obedience to the law, is not a step towards maturity. It's a step back into childhood. Why in the world, Paul's saying, why in the world would you, once you have received the Spirit of God, you are now sons and daughters of the Most High, why would you want to try to step back into doing good? Trying to live by the law. Trying to be obedient to it. You have God's Spirit that leads you. This is one of those things that sometimes is difficult for some people to understand. I've shared this before, but one of the ways that my wife has always challenged me when it comes to listening and being obedient to the Spirit, like being led by God's Spirit, is that when she will just be in the car sometimes, just by herself, sometimes she's driving and somebody comes to her heart, just an individual starts coming to her heart and her mind, and she just starts to pray for them. She's taught me so much in this regard. I was not this way. I kind of would think that that's nothing. You know, I'm just like, okay, well, I thought about that person, random. But she was being led by the Spirit of God to pray for that person. And so she would pray for that person. And then a lot of times, if she still felt God's impression, she would sometimes text them. And she'd say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And there's been multiple times where that person said, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. This is what I'm going through right now. And then she'd call and they'd have a conversation. Why? Because my wife was led by the Spirit of God. Instead of trying to be obedient to the law, she's led by the Spirit. Why would we want to go back to being obedient to a law when we have the Spirit of God to lead us in love? It's so much better on this side. And that's what Paul is trying to argue. We'll keep on reading because in this section right here, Paul is essentially saying, hey, when I came to you the first time, that Spirit of God inside of you did incredible things. You loved me so well. Why are you trying to go back to that? So let's keep on reading. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? So here's what happened. Paul, for some reason, many commentators are trying to understand exactly what happened, but Paul, for some reason, was kept from sharing the gospel in Pamphylia, and he had to keep on going, and he went up to Galatia. Now, a lot of people think what happened was is that he contracted malaria while he was in Pamphylia. It's kind of like a coastal region there in that area. And so he probably got bit by some mosquitoes and contracted malaria. Now, malaria, thank goodness we don't have that kind of issue here in the United States, but it is a horrible disease. You suffer quite a lot and truly never, ever really get rid of it. And so a lot of people, again, a lot of commentators believe that this is perhaps the thorn in Paul's side, that he continued to deal with this malaria. Now, when he gets to Galatia, to these people, and he's sharing the message of the gospel, he is sick, and he's dealing with malaria. And so he's saying that his eyes, I don't know if it's water or what's going on with his eyes, but they're so rough that the Galatian people were like, we will give you our eyes. We will pluck out our own eyes so that you can have an eye. That's how much they are loving on Paul. But it's through the Spirit of God that they're doing that. It's not through trying to be obedient to the law. It is through the Spirit of God in them, working in them. And so he's saying, why in the world are you treating me so differently now? Well, I know why you're treating me so differently. Because these Judaizers have come in, and they are trying to tell you that it is all about works of the law. So instead of being obedient to the Spirit, you're trying to, again, follow the law. And we've already seen how Paul's argued that. We can't do that. The Jews couldn't even do that. They couldn't even be obedient enough to the law. So we see him continue to work through that. Okay, let's keep on reading. Those people are zealous to win you over. That's the Judaizers. But for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. And it's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I'm with you, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. So one of the things that we need to see of the benefits of sonship, like we just talked about a second ago, is this idea that the Spirit of God in us as sons makes us want to be obedient because of love for God. So Paul is saying, when I came the first time, it was by God's Spirit in you, and you were nothing but love. But now because of these Judaizers coming in and saying this, now you're treating me with contempt. Why? Why are you being this way? Please listen to the argument that I'm saying. Again, believe and trust in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. That's what saves. That's what gives you God's Spirit. That's what gives you God's Spirit. William Barclay, another commentator, this just really got me. It's the power of love and not the constraint of law that will keep us right. For love is always more powerful than law. Let me just read that last part again. For love is always more powerful than law. I mean, just think about this with your own children, right? Would you want them to do it because you told them, or do you want them to do it because they love you? Love's more powerful. It's a more powerful motivator than law will ever be. Again, you can see why Paul's getting so passionate in his cry here. Why do you go back to that? When the Spirit of God is the one who's freeing you for love, why do you want to go back and put yourself in bondage to be a slave underneath the law? Let the Spirit of God continue to change you in the way of love, because love is more powerful than law. Okay, last section. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Okay, so I told you there's a couple of history lessons that come in here. Paul is having one more history lesson. He's kind of leaving it. He's showing us the difference between slaves and sons, and he's leaving it with this one final illustration of Abraham's own life. He's already talked about Abraham in chapter 3, connecting how we by faith are like Abraham, the father of faith. But now he's trying to show the difference between those who want to live under the law and those who want to live by God's Spirit through faith. And he's showing that this Old Testament story, and some of you might remember it, right? Abraham, God comes to him when he's 75 years old, and he says, "I'm going to make you into a great and powerful nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your children as numerous as the stars in the sky and as numerous as the sand on the seashore." And the Scripture says, which we read already, that Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Because of his faith, God said, "You're righteous." Okay? Catch that. Don't miss that. But then, several years later, Abraham's wondering what's going on. Okay, where? I don't even have an heir yet. I don't even have a child yet. And so Abraham does what we often do. He tries to take measures into his own hands. He has a slave woman named Hagar that's Sarah, his wife's handmaiden. And he says, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make my own heir." And so with Hagar, he has a son named Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the son of promise, and God reminded him of that. He said, "You are going to have a son, and I promised you that." So when he's 99 years old, Abraham received news that he's going to have a son, Isaac. At 100 years old, he has a son. He has the son of promise. Two sons, one born by a slave woman, one born by the promise of God. The law is what Paul is pointing out here. The law is Hagar. If you want to live underneath that, then the curses that you have, you'll receive those. But if you want to live by faith in Jesus Christ, then you are like Isaac, the promised son. The promised son. So Catch that. Catch that. So, two more curses of slavery. Here they are. The slave inherits nothing. As children of God by faith, we receive and we inherit everything of God. We can receive all the riches that God has for us. But if we're underneath the law and we're trying to work our way to God, we inherit nothing. Last thing, the slave's obedience comes from fear. Instead of being motivated by love, we're motivated by fear. And fear is the worst of all motivators. It's the worst of all motivators. So the question we have to ask ourselves, the question that we have to finish with, is which one of those do we want to be? Which one of those are we going to fall in? Because some of us in this room, that's where we are. We're trying to earn our salvation. We're trying to work our way to God. Trying desperately to obey a form of the law that maybe even you were taught when you were little. Some of you, it's go to church. Do this. Don't do that. That's the law that was imposed on you. Instead, trying to follow and trust in what God has done by faith in his Son. You're trying to earn God's approval. And the only problem with trying to earn the approval of God is that you're trying to do good enough, but that is a slave's mindset of thinking. That's what a slave would think. See, here's the thing. If you're still trying to be good enough, then you're trying to hold on to promises like the Judaizers promised to the Galatians. If you just do this, then you can be accepted. Then you can receive God's love. Then you can. That's not a son mentality. That's a slave mentality. You're still acting as a slave. Sons aren't made that way. Slaves are made that way. All you have to do is trust in what Jesus has done for you. It is a gift of God. Receive it by faith and know that God's Spirit will begin to work in your life. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you that because of what Jesus has done, we are no longer slaves, but we are your children. And we inherit all of the incredible goodness and the riches of who you are. Father, this morning, if there's anybody in here that does not trust in the truth of what Jesus has done, God, would you please not let them leave without making that so? God, we love you. We thank you for calling us sons. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.